The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our broadband, your world is limitless. Live beyond.
Good morning all, this is Ryan Tubridy with you. It's Wednesday morning, it's the 11th of September 2019. There's a date, 51551 is the text number. You can email ryan at rte.ie. Well, actually it's probably appropriate as it's 9-11 today. And what is it, 18 years? 18 years. We call it like it was yesterday. I know that's kind of like a hackneyed thing to say, but it's just simply one of those things. People will tell you back in the day it was Pearl Harbor, it was Kennedy's assassination, whatever it might be. But 9-11 was one of those. We're not getting into it today other than to just mark it by saying that. But later on, I'll be talking to a man who's at the front line of media in America, particularly in Washington, and that is his name is Jim Acosta. Jim Acosta of CNN. I've mentioned his book that I really enjoyed over the summer. And we said we'd give him a call. And sure enough, he'll be on the programme this morning. And he followed the Obama White House. But he's had very, very kind of belligerent encounters with Donald Trump in the last 3 years. And his book goes through all of that. And that's why we said we'd get him on today. And of course, with John Bolton, the National Security Advisor, getting the heave-ho last... Well, he said he was going to retire, resign. And then Trump said, no way, we'll talk about it in the morning. And then the morning came and he said, you're fired, which is two of his favourite words, as you know. And Bolton said, no, but I was going to resign anyway. No, you're fired. So, but I said I was going to, no, gone, bye. And he's gone. And that's the Trump way. I have to say, just watching politics unfold in this country in the last few days, I thought Leo Varadkar did an excellent job at the press conference with Boris Johnson the other day. I thought his speech was strong. I thought he looked good, particularly beside the Prime Minister. I also think it's good that it sent a good message, I thought. And I thought that I think it's a great idea to see Phil Hogan as the man the European Commission have picked as trade commissioner. And you know it's a good news story for Ireland when the Daily Telegraph approach it with unease. So that's good news. And they say EU names Big Phil, Irish scourge of Brexit, as trade commissioner. And I think an Irish scourge of Brexit is a good thing. So, good. Come on, Ireland, as we say. There was another piece in the paper yesterday. You might have seen it about... Now, I'm not a cricket guy. I'm delighted for Owen Morgan, obviously. But back in the day, I'll always remember the name Geoffrey Boycott because we watched a lot of BBC TV, obviously, and that would come, his name would come up quite a lot. And he was he's been given a knighthood by one of his biggest fans, Theresa May. I think when the Prime Minister leaves office, they're allowed to hand out some medals and trinkets and so on. And one of them is a knighthood to Geoffrey Boycott. He was on the list of 57 names made up mostly of political figures, people who worked with her and so on. Now, I didn't realise Geoffrey Boycott had a shady past. And domestic abuse charities and the Labour Party have said that the honour should be removed from the ex-cricketer because he was convicted of beating his girlfriend in 1998. Now, Boycott, who has always denied the assault, later questioned why the issue had been raised at all. And the difficulty with it all is that he was, the whole case was tried in France. He says it's a long time ago, everything changes, but people are pretty unhappy about it. And he was talking about this, he was questioned about it on BBC Radio, and this is Geoffrey Boycott on whether or not he should care about questions being raised about his knighthood.
I don't care a toss about her, love. It's 25 years ago, so you can take your political nature and do whatever you want with it. You want to talk to me about my knighthood? It's very nice of you to have me. But I couldn't give a toss.
Savory. Now, elsewhere in Cork, I thought this was in the Irish Examiner this morning. They were talking about a bridge that had this kind of old, archaic name called the Shaky Bridge from the 19th century. No, this is work to dismantle Cork's famous Shaky Bridge has begun. The engineers working on the 1.7 million euro repair and restoration of the landmark structure oversaw preparations for the removal of the first section of the near century old suspension bridge. And apparently it's been shaky and they feel it's time to fix it. It's known locally as the Shaky Bridge. And they're going to fix it and remove sections. Great picture by Dan Lennon in the paper today because, you know, if the bridge is going to shake, you got to fix it. There's a man I interviewed here many, many years ago who you'll be familiar with, and if you're very young, you'll know him from Reeling in the Ears. That's Brian Keenan. And Brian Keenan was a hostage in Beirut. And I remember, I'll never forget interviewing him because his description of the horror of being a hostage was so, it was so vivid, almost visceral. And I see him walking around near Dunleary and that part of Dublin. Pointed him out actually to one of my daughters. I said, "You see that guy? Like, he's a fascinating man." And there he was only walking off to get his paper. I said, "If you'd never know who you're walking beside or standing near." Malcolm MacArthur's another one you see walking about, and you think, I pointed him out too. I said, "Girl, see that guy there?" And you tell the story. You just never know, especially if you're a youngster, you don't know. But that's why history is important and being aware of it, and be bang on about it. But former Beirut hostage Brian Keenan's in the Irish Daily Star today because he was so desperate to watch the All-Ireland hurling final just days after being released from 5 years in the most awful captivity that, well, I'll get to the punchline, as it were, in a moment. This is a tale told in a newly released book celebrating the Rebels' famous football hurling double the same year. And as you know, Brian Keenan, as I say, was an academic. He was kidnapped by Islamic Shiite militiamen while working in the Lebanese capital in April 1986 and spent almost 5 years chained alongside fellow hostage John McCarthy. And he was released anyway, and he said, I just want to go to the All-Ireland hurling final. He did. So anyway, he was smuggled into Croke Park. I'm not sure why, but obviously maybe he was famous. But how did they get him into Croke Park? In the boot of a car. After 5 years of captivity in the dark, I've been beaten and chained. And I said, how are you going to get into Croke Park? In the boot of a car. I just thought that was... I'm flabbergasted by it. If I see him again, I'm going to stop him. Because he walks the pier near... I'm going to stop him and say, why do they put you in the boot of a car to get you into Croke Park? I said, I'll never know. John Bercow, order! Who I hope has more time to visit a hairdresser. I mean, his hair is mad looking. Nevertheless, he's Speaker of the House of Commons and they're tipping him in the Irish Sun this morning for an appearance on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. The UK's House Speaker has announced he'll step down, as we probably know, and he's been given short odds. So they will see, it'll be kind of interesting to see whether or not he goes into that, but we'll keep you posted. Elsewhere, loads and loads of attention for Margaret Atwood, the writer of The Handmaid's Tale. And her new book has been released. Well, it's been released, kind of was released by accident, and then it was released again, and properly, I should say. Now, I have a copy of it, but I haven't seen it yet. I'm looking around here for something. And sure enough, she has released this, the Testaments, and we will be reading it with great interest. I heard Sinead Crowley on Morning Ireland giving it lots and lots of love. And so it sounds great, and I'll give it a go. And back in June, that's it, 2018, we met her. We met Margaret Atwood in live and in real life. And we were in a place called Knockmaroon House. Beautiful place, and we were getting ready to decide. It was the Boris House Festival of Writing and Ideas was taking place, so she was our guest that day, and along with Misha Glennie, actually, as it happens, that was later on. But anyway, sat down with Margaret. It was a great kind of privilege to meet somebody of such a literary status, and she told us about the inspiration behind those, you know, those bonnets that they wear that have become iconic in many ways and emblematic for a generation. That the handmaids wear. And in fact, this piece includes the question I asked her about this. Here it is. The bonnet that the women wear in that story. I want to ask you about that washing detergent powder.
Oh, yes.
That scared you as a child.
Old Dutch cleanser.
Would you please tell our friends listening about Old Dutch cleanser?
Old Dutch cleanser, yeah. Of the 40s. 1940s, Old Dutch cleanser had on the tin a woman in a voluminous dress, blue, however, not red, and this huge white bonnet that meant that you couldn't see her face. And she was carrying a stick. Now, why she was carrying this stick in quite an aggressive way, she was chasing the dirt. That's what it said in the ads. Yeah. But you had this quite aggressive woman with a stick, and of course I didn't know she was chasing the dirt. I just thought she was scary.
Scary. Amazing. And from these little things, you know, like almost like a magpie. Most writers are like that. They'll keep that and I'll have a look at that and keep that and bring it back in the next thing. Off she goes. If you've read the new book already, which I suspect some of you have, strangely, I'd love to know what you think. 51551. She'd be thrilled, by the way, Miss Atwood, to know that a new Monopoly game, a version of it at least, celebrates innovative women. So rich Uncle Pennybags has willed his empire to his niece, Miss Monopoly, in Hasbro's latest iteration of its iconic board game, where female entrepreneurs and inventors are not only celebrated, but, unlike the pension story we heard in Morning Ireland, they're paid more than men. How about that? The first game where women make more than men, reads the bottom of the new Miss Monopoly game, which Hasbro says will feature a new game host character for the first time in Monopoly's history. Miss Monopoly wears a blazer, she holds a coffee, and she stands with her hand on her popped hip, because that's what all businesswomen do. Huh? Nevertheless, that's what it is. In her world, the experiences of women and their contributions to society form the basis of the board game. Isn't there another? Yes, there's more. There will be... There have been launches also of two other recent Monopoly spin-offs. That is to say, Monopoly Socialism and Monopoly for Millennials. I'd say none of the above will darken the doors of the White House anytime soon. We shall see. Keeping a watch on public periodicals and magazines and papers that are shutting down and closing down. Marie Claire, gone. You will not see that on your magazine shelves anymore. It stopped producing its UK print edition after November. Digital only. Obviously, it's not a magazine I was rushing out to buy anyway, but I know lots of you would have, and of course you would. But I was in Easton's the other day, and I love going into a shop like that, or any newsagent, and just looking at magazines on shelves. Don't know why. You see, you know, fishing magazines, and pigeon fancying magazines, and history magazines, and tattoo magazines, or whatever. I just like looking at the covers of them, history magazines, and just going... I'd like one of everything, just to, because it's. I just think the hard copy is so much nicer to hold than looking at another screen. It's just exhausting. The new iPhone 11 Pro and Pro Max have left a certain group of people feeling uneasy. And what I'll tell you about these people is that they suffer from something I've never heard about. I've never heard of. You might have it. I've never heard of it until today. And I'm probably in the minority. It's called trypophobia. TrypoPhobia. Do you know what that is? Let me tell you what it is. It's a fear of... it's a fear, it seems, of tiny little bumps and lumps. Yes, it's a fear of holes, it's often called. It encompasses a fear of irregular circular patterns and bumpy or dimpled surfaces. Imagine these people on a golf course, the nerves will be gone. And they don't like things like... You know, so triggers for... trypophobes include sponges, beehives, strawberries, condensation, and bubble baths. How they haven't left this country, I'll never know. The larger the cluster, the higher the discomfort. So the new iPhone has a cluster of three holes, very small cluster, which should elicit less stress than, say, a strawberry or a honeycomb, which have hundreds of holes. But people are giving out about trypophobia and how I found the Apple people were very thoughtless in producing a phone that has... Listen, good luck with that. Conor McCaffrey, writing in the Irish Star, says that teeth analysed from the 1840s have shed light on what people were eating before and during the famine here in Ireland. And it looks like we were eating corn, oats, potato, wheat and milk foodstuffs. I wouldn't have thought that was a massive revelation, would you? In Ireland, in the 1840s, researchers also discovered egg protein in the calculus of three people, which they said is more associated with diets of non-labouring social classes. But it is fascinating that with just some teeth from that time and with modern science, they can tell you exactly what they had for breakfast. I mean, that's intriguing. History lovers set your recorders to stun or watch live as it goes out tonight on TG Carter at 9:30. De Valera, America, and America even. Damon De Valera arrived in America. He introduced himself as the first president of Ireland. In reality, he was a wanted man who crossed the Atlantic as a stowaway, says the Times today. And Ireland was still part of the British Empire. As this two-part documentary marking the centenary of that historic trip discovers, Dev will still became a star to Irish Americans until his presence led to a battle for control. I will be watching that. That's good. That looks great. And if they've got good footage on it, I'm in, TG Gahagher, 9:30 tonight. I promised you I'd play the full version of this song this morning, and that's what I'm going to do, is to deliver on this musical promise. That's Freddie Mercury, it's just too much. I was feeling a bit down today, says Mary, and as soon as you played that song, I got a surge of joy. And why wouldn't you? Declan says, I would urge you to look up Queen Live at Milton Keynes 1982, Hot Space Tour, electric performance of Somebody to Love. Also Live in Montreal 1981, worth it for piano and vocal intro alone. Well, I took note of that, so that's great. Rosemary went to see An Evening with Margaret Atwood in the Pavilion Theatre in Dunleary last night. What an intellect. I love her. One of the best of our time. And Alias Grace is much better than Handmaid's Tale, says she. And Liz, meanwhile, has the joy of getting back from a filling at the dentist this morning, back to bed and reading The Testaments, the new Atwood book, all morning. What a great way to spend a morning. Lovely. And plenty more in, including one saying that I was just heading to work, heard that you were going to interview Jim Acosta of CNN. I'm not moving. Great admirer of the wonderfully tenacious, fearless Jim Acosta. My despair, says this text from Marion Ballincollig of the political and journalistic world, changes to hope when I see him on TV. I look forward to listening in. Yeah, we're going to talk to Jim Acosta in a minute. Here's a little clip of him at a press conference in November 2018. He was taking on the president on the subject of migrants, and it's pretty testy.
Hundreds of miles away, though. They're hundreds and hundreds of miles away. That's not an invasion.
Honestly,
that's enough. I was going to ask one of the other folks.
That's enough.
Pardon me, ma'am. Mr. President.
That's enough.
Mr. President, I had one other question, if I may ask, on the Russia investigation.
That's enough.
I was going to ask one of the other folks.
That's enough.
Pardon me, ma'am. Mr. President.
That's enough.
Mr. President, I had one other question, if I may ask, on the Russia investigation. And are you concerned?
I'm not concerned about anything with the Russian investigation because it's a hoax. That's enough. Put down the mic.
Mr. President, are you worried about indictments coming down in this investigation? Mr. President.
I'll tell you what, CNN should be ashamed of itself having you working for them. You are a rude, terrible person. You shouldn't be working for CNN.
Right, so we'll be joined by the rude and terrible Jim Acosta after this break.